Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One thing you didn't get to on the sports page is Sua Cravens is no longer a member of the Washington Redskins. They were able to deal him. Did you like the deal, Cakes?
It's about what I expected them to get for Sua Cravens. I knew that people that were talking about, well, they should hold out for a third round pick. I just knew that he wasn't going to fetch that sort of price with all the controversy swirling around him with him not playing this past season. I guess they did a pretty good job in securing a fifth round pick, and they were able to swap positions in both the fourth and fifth rounds with the Broncos. And I think they get like a sixth round compensatory pick if he plays a certain amount of snaps for the Broncos. So, look, you get rid of a guy who clearly wasn't going to fit in your locker room anymore, and you get an extra pick out of the deal. You know, it's not a great situation, obviously, because this is a guy who's a second-round pick. You expected a lot more out of him than what you got. But at least you got a little something on his way out the door.
Mm.
But it's not the way you wanted this, Dan. Usually you want your second-round picks to become productive starters for your team. You don't like them to become fifth-round picks, which are much dicier.
Yeah, I mean, I think they made the best of the situation, kind of like they did with the Kirk Cousins thing. Look, it didn't work out. It's sad when your second-round draft picks last one season.
Right.
They got one season out of the guy.
Right.
And in that one season, he wasn't even a starter. So it's kind of sad that it worked out that way, but I thought that he might just be cut. I think they had no desire to let him be part of the roster.
Well, I'm sure a lot of the teammates probably didn't want him in the locker room either. They don't want to welcome that guy back.
So with the fourth and fifth round swaps, did they improve their position or hurt their position when they swapped?
I think they moved up a few draft picks each round where they swapped.
The Broncos pick higher than the Redskins. Broncos have the fifth overall pick in the first round.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So they improved their position.
They improved their draft position
in both the fourth and the fifth.
Yeah.
All right.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in on anything? Do you like the Sua Cravens deal? I do know this. Valdez and Drab want to pummel Cakes right now about his car situation.
They're so giddy about it. I can't believe.
I do know this. Listening to Cakes' spots for 6 months,
yeah,
he's been in the market to buy that third car from Ferris.
Yes.
I would say for 6 months. He's been saying he's this close to buying it for 6 months. And 6 months have passed.
Time is running out. Like, my lease, I believe, runs out at the end of March. And there aren't that many days left in March.
You got two.
So, I mean, I left a text with my man Ralph Perkins and said, look, I need to come in and sign the paperwork, get the deal done.
Right.
So,
here's
why they want a Joan. This is why the Joan Fest is occurring.
Jason, you're not going to believe this.
Okay. So, I will go through the complex car shell game that's going on right now. So, my son is currently driving my beater at College Park.
Which beater is that?
The Money Metal Saturn.
The green one?
The green
God,
Saturn.
That's such an ugly car.
You've had that since HFS, I believe.
I've had it since 2004.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with your kid driving it.
Okay. No. Listen, here's my plan.
Fine. It's fine that the kid's driving it, but the fact that he drove it at any point in his life is sad and embarrassing.
2005, it was probably okay.
Yeah.
No, it was never okay. It was awful car.
Okay. He's such a car snob. Currently driving that vehicle.
People that are driving around Saturns right now are so bitter.
All right, go ahead. So we're going to buy him a car at some point, TBD, but probably within the next 6 to 9 months or so.
Okay.
We're also going to buy the 2016 Cherokee that I'm currently leasing. We're going to turn that into a purchase.
That's simple.
That's okay. The gray one, right?
Or
silver.
No, we already own that. That's silly. That's the Grand Cherokee. The other white one is just a Cherokee.
Oh, you have two Cherokees?
Yes.
Oh,
who's that for?
Well, that, I think, is going to go to my daughter because she's about to get her license because I wanted her to have a reliable car, be able to drive her. I wanted her to have a backup camera because she's not that
silly. So she gets hooked with the Cherokee.
She's going to get hooked.
And your son gets whored with the Saturn.
Okay, not really, because my son is going to get something else from Farish in the next few months.
So both your kids getting brand new sillies from Farish.
Basically. And my wife.
Cherokee sillies.
My wife then will get the Grand Cherokee that I'm currently driving to work, and I'm planning on just driving the beater. to work.
The Saturn?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to go back into the Saturn?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But here's
I don't have a problem with that.
Full circle.
Here's
full circle. That's right. I mean, what are you supposed to have? Four brand new cars?
Am I going to have three car? You want three car payments? I don't.
No, I've got two.
Two at a time is about all I want. So I'm going to drive the beater until it falls apart.
So right now you have three cars. You have the Saturn, the beater, and then the two Cherokees.
Correct.
Mm.
The Saturn is the beater. Yes, correct.
So you're
how many miles
have,
are on that Saturn?
You're eventually, though, going to have three new cars.
That'll be a million.
Right? Because if Juliet has a car.
Yep.
And Kurt has a car.
Correct.
Amy needs a car. You need a car.
Amy's car. She gets the car that I'm currently driving. The 2016 Grand Cherokee will go
to
my wife.
I know, but my point is you're going to have a total of four.
Correct. But only two would be new. One
only
we already
payments.
Have, and we already have the beater. Two payments.
So out of the four Audevilles that are driving, three of them will be driving a car 2016 or newer.
My wife will be driving a 2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
Grand Cherokee.
But and that 14, I'm guessing you still...
And you're driving a grand number.
90,000 miles.
Wait, the 14 you still have to make payments on, I'm assuming.
Correct. I'm turning that
so
from a lease.
So you have three cars that you're making payments on.
No, because the gray silly is already paid. It's paid off.
How'd you pull that if that's a 16?
You're getting mixed up. The one that my wife's going to get is a 2014. The payments are done on that. Done.
Really? Is that like a three-year payment plan? I always do a five or six-year.
We're 5 years in. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. It's paid.
Right.
You're getting lost in the weeds when Cakes is driving a big number.
I'm driving the number.
But what's the car?
I don't have
what's
a problem
the car
with
that you
like
need to
Joe?
Renew
Who
the
cares?
Lease on?
That's the 2016 white Cherokee that I rarely, if ever, drive here.
Okay. That's the one you have to renew the lease
on. That will go to my daughter. I'd rather her drive a reliable, relatively new car.
AWOL will drive a better car than you.
The only problem with that is...
It's fine.
The only problem with that is, and I'm not wishing this, but it's just math.
Yeah.
Statistically speaking, the most likely person to be in an accident is the youngest driver.
Sure.
And the youngest driver... Putting her in the nicest, newest car might not be the wisest move because it may get banged up
at some
point.
Well, it's a three-year-old car.
Now, I agree that it's a bigger car. You want her in a bigger car to be safe, but it may get nicked up a little
bit. Fine. If that happens, I have a little something called insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a problem.
Don't you sacrifice enough.
Yeah, but the insurance will go up. It will skyrocket.
That's true.
If your kid gets in an accident.
Look, I know
why do you guys care so much, though?
I don't care
if they're all driving numbers. That
because
would be
they
one
like
thing.
To Joan. That's
I
why.
Know, but my Cakes is making a smart play. Like,
no, he's too passive about everything in his life. That's
he's,
the problem.
He's letting his wife and his kids walk all over him.
That's not it at all.
He just wants his wife and his daughter to be in reliable, bigger cars.
I'm fine with them driving nicer cars than me.
He's making a smart financial move.
I don't need three car payments. You want three car payments?
No.
Yeah, you're giving him the face.
I know, but why don't you just tell your son, I know you love him, you know what? You're not that silly. You don't need the brand new car. You graduate in college.
Hey,
you
not,
can drive the Saturn until you make
here's
a little
the
bit of money.
He's not asking for it. He's not spoiled.
I know, you're hooking him.
What are you going to get him? You're
going to
get him a used car or something
crazy.
New?
I don't know, like a Jeep Compass, something, maybe a Cherokee, which something
car?
Along those lines.
The Cherokees and the Cherokee love Bob.
Not a grand Cherokee.
Yeah. I know, it's just hilarious.
You love Cherokees.
I do. Yeah.
Hold on, so which car do you drive for the endorsement?
Right now I'm driving the Grand Cherokee 2014.
The Grand Cherokee.
Yes.
But you don't pay anything on that because it's an endorsement car, right?
Kind of, yeah.
You have different deals.
Yeah, I do an endorsement deal with Farish last decade.
Right, so they don't charge you. They let you drive that car for free, I thought.
It's complicated. That
not
used
his
to be,
deal.
Used to be the case,
oh,
but
okay.
Things change because of insurance regulations.
Because that's the hookup I have. This guy doesn't pay for anything with the old Toyota Avalon
Hybrid.
That's
a good deal.
This guy right here.
It's a solid deal for you.
All right, so I was just confused. I was confused that you were paying on that car.
They just want a Joan because I was going to drive the beater. You kind of want a Joan, too, because you think I shouldn't be driving that
car.
Well,
he's a car snob to begin with.
Not really.
He always Jones on people's cars.
I don't care what you drive.
You do.
I don't really care. They're the ones that brought it up. I don't care.
Now, I will be a little bit embarrassed.
You would never catch me in a Saturn.
I know.
See?
Hold on. What's the song?
It's your Cherokee.
Here's where I will be slightly embarrassed. Pulling it up to Homewood Suites every day to have it.
That yeah, that's another thing.
Slightly embarrassed, but again, I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't understand why Kurt can't drive that until it breaks
down.
He
can drive it.
I'm just choosing. We're just choosing to give him a car, basically as an early graduation gift. There's nothing wrong with that.
12 months early.
It's a little bit early. It's fine.
I just wish you got Sice to be the man of the house. And just, you know.
I don't know why you're joking
It just
so much.
Doesn't add up. Nothing adds up about that. I've never seen another kid, a high school kid, not drive the beater of the house.
Right.
And have the dad take the.
I'd rather her be in a safer car. That's all.
Well, so Jason's daughter.
I'm looking out for
silly.
The safety of my daughter. Right. Oh, I'm such a jerk.
So once you get your son the new car, or whatever you get him.
Yeah.
That'll be four cars.
Correct.
So you're going to pay insurance on four cars.
Yeah. I mean, but what else am I going to do? Not insure my cars?
No, I know. It's just a lot of cars to have.
I mean, there's a lot of people who live in my house that drive at this point.
I guess I don't know what I'm going to do with my youngest daughter when she's able to drive. Because my oldest daughter will be in college, so she'll just drive what my oldest daughter's driving now. Because my oldest daughter won't be able to have a car her freshman year on campus, I'm assuming.
Right.
When's Brendan going for a test drive at Farish?
I mean, he's 13, so it's not that far away. Yeah, then I'm going to have five cars. That is going to be a show.
Is there anywhere to put another car in your driveway at Christmas time?
I have a pretty big driveway.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So you can,
it needs to be repaved, but I have a pretty big driveway.
So you can fit more than four cars in it?
Yes, if need be. And I can actually fit one in my garage.
Gotcha.
So there's room. Always room for more.
All right. Well, if you see cakes in the ugly green Saturn,
you might. You might soon.
Give him a shout out in the next few months.
Does Brett still have his Saturn? He had the same Saturn that you had.
There's no way, Brett.
No way
Brett's still pushing that. He's the hot dog king of North Carolina.
He's probably got a nice
you
SUV.
Can't be seen in that vehicle.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now to talk about the start of the baseball season is Robert Flores. He is the new co-host of MLB Network's morning show MLB Central, which you can watch weekdays 10 a.m. with Mark DeRosa and Lauren Shahadi. Visit MLBnetwork.com for your local channel listings. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Is this your favorite day of the year, opening day, Robert?
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, right there up with WrestleMania, WrestleMania Day. That's also a big one. But, this is such a cool day for baseball fans. I mean, everyone starts 0-0. Everyone's fantasy team is still in the hunt. So, this is a really special day.
You forgot final stage of the Tour de France.
Yes.
Cycling is a big one.
That is a big one.
This is great, man. And I know that they changed it up this year. You know, they're doing all the Thursday games. They expanded the regular season by a few days to give the players a few more days off. I think it's pretty cool. What's the biggest storyline, in your opinion, heading into 2018?
That's a tough one because there's so many. I think if you're looking for sort of a big picture overall view, I think it's which one of the super teams, quote unquote, is going to emerge.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would have to include the Nationals as among them. The Astros, obviously, being defending champions. The Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. So, which one of those teams will ultimately take it all? Is it going to be the Astros again? Or maybe it's a team, another team in the National League West. I think the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, especially the Rockies, have a chance to be really good again. So I think that's kind of the big sort of overarching storyline going in.
Robert, what sort of impact do you think Davey Martinez makes as the first-year skipper here in Washington? Huge expectations. As you mentioned, they're one of those five or six teams that should go deep in the postseason. They haven't been able to get past that postseason hump. What do you think Davey brings to the squad?
I think he brings a sense of even though it is his first crack at the managerial position, he's been in the dugouts, he's been at the postseason, so he knows what to do. It's not like he's sort of going into uncharted territory. Yes, there are going to be some things that he has to deal with that he hasn't dealt with before, but he has a good resume. He has really good experience. I think, you know, I was at Nationals camp in West Palm Beach a couple of weeks ago, and I just got the sense of treats the guys like adults. And I think that's especially for this team, you have so many veterans, so many established players and stars that's what you need. You just need to tell this group, hey, this is what I expect of you. I don't want to have to be on you all the time. I don't need to be giving you rah-rah speeches every day or every week. Just go out, ball out, and do what you can do. And let's just see if we can avoid having something unusual happen to us in the postseason.
Right. You mean getting past the first round? That would
yeah,
be
I mean, I'm not being facetious when I say this, but I feel for national fans, and I feel... If you're a Nationals fan and a Capitals fan, I don't know how you do it.
Uh-huh.
I seriously
tough.
Don't. I
it's
mean,
brutal.
Because
we're used to
it. Is I mean, what you guys have gone through in both postseasons the last couple of years, it is wow.
We just had a caller call us about 45 minutes ago and said he was asking us for advice on how to handle the fact that he has no hope because of the four major teams in D.C. because they never do anything in the postseason. And I told him, look, it's a new year. You just don't know.
Yeah.
It's a brand new year. You don't know what lies ahead. And with Davey, do you think that he feels or should feel extra pressure knowing that Davey Johnson couldn't get past the first round, Dusty mm-hmm. Baker, Matt Williams, they couldn't do it with great teams?
Yeah, I really don't think he feels any sort of extra pressure. I mean, there's pressure. He had to know that, this franchise has had trouble in the postseason. The expectations are always high. And, oh, by the way, your best player may not be with the franchise past this season.
Right.
So he knows that going in. I don't think he feels any extra added pressure because there's enough pressure to go around.
So that being said, I don't know if you guys do any, you know, preseason predictions. Do you have a prediction?
Oh, yeah.
All right, who do you have in the National League?
First of all, I'm terrible at these. But I have the Cubs beating the Nationals in the NLCS.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Right,
that's okay.
But at least I have them getting past the first round.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have them with more than 92 wins? It's a very important number for us gambling-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be – I think they win the division going away. I think the Mets are going to be better. I think the Mets will be challenging for a playoff spot. But there's no one else in that division that I see as a real threat for the Nationals. I will say that, as I said, I'm terrible at preseason predictions, especially in baseball, because it's such a difficult thing to predict. The season is so long. Who knows what the Nationals will do at the deadline? Who knows what other contenders will do at the deadline? That will have huge impacts one way or another. But I think Nationals fans should feel good about another deep run, another division crown. And I think it's going to be a deep run in the playoffs.
So switching over to the American League, you brought up the Astros, and they're just so good.
Mm-hmm.
They're just loaded, and they add Cole. But, you know, you haven't had a repeat winner in the series since the Yankees, correct?
That's right.
2000. It's been a long time. It's just mm-hmm. hard to do. When you stack them up, and then the other big storyline's got to be, you know, who wins the AL East between, you know, you mentioned the super teams, Boston and New York, who've got rookie managers, right?
Yes, both of them.
Both of them. And, you know, Red Sox add Martinez. They still have some question marks to the rotation, especially down at the 4 and 5 spots. But in the American League, everyone wants to pick Houston. But what do you think about Boston and New York in that race?
I think it is a fascinating – it's going to be a fascinating watch in the American League East because, sure, Giancarlo Stanton being added to the Yankees lineup and all those home runs, that creates a lot of buzz and creates a lot of sizzle. But look, JD Martinez had an unbelievable season last year. Now this is a power hitter that loves going to right center field. That's at Fenway Park. That's sort of the deepest part of that stadium. So how is that going to work out? is David Price going to be David Price again in the rotation? You know, last year he came, in the playoffs, he came out of the bullpen, and that was a cool little wrinkle. But for the Red Sox to get where they want to get, David Price is going to have an impact out of the rotation.
Yeah.
And he struggled last season. Chris Sale is filthy. He gets the start today. So I think it's going to be – I don't think it's a stretch. I mean, I'm picking the Red Sox to win that division again. And of course, I'll have the Yankees taking the wild card. But I think it's going to be a really – I think it's going to be a thrilling race to watch for the rest of the season.
What do you set the over-under on team home runs for the Yankees?
Because
you got to believe it's going to be like 100 between Judge and Stanton.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I can't remember if it was Ron Darling or John Smoltz that said he could see the whatever number being projected for or combined home runs being projected for those two. He could see it being lower just because both of those guys had unbelievable seasons. And it's so hard to repeat that. I mean, they could both go for 40. And that's still an amazing season, but it's less than 100. It's maybe less than what people expected. So the expectations are very high. Maybe they're a little too high for those two.
Yeah, I think Vegas had set the total at those the combined homers at 104. I mean, that's a lot of home runs.
I'll take the under. I'm with you. I'll take the under. I think those two are going to be they're going to be devastating in batting practice. They're going to be devastating at times against really bad pitching. But those two are going to strike out a bunch,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there's going to be a lot of swing and miss at the top of that lineup at times. But make no mistake about it, that's a devastating combination.
So you mentioned the Mets. Switching back to the NL here, you mentioned the Mets. They're interesting because their pitching is so good if they can stay healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Syndergaard,
yeah.
DeGrom, Harvey, Mats, Wheeler. If those guys can stay healthy, they're dangerous, but man, they've got an older lineup. I can't believe Adrian Gonzalez is going to start at first base for them. He couldn't handle Boston,
yeah.
Robert. How's he going to handle New York?
You know,
and they've got Frazier at third, and Cespedes is always, you know, Jay Bruce. They got older guys, but
mm-hmm.
again, their pitching is so good, they could carry them through. They're not going to win the division, I don't think, but they could be interesting.
No, I'm with you. And I think, as I said earlier, I think that they could be a team that challenges for a playoff spot in the National League. But the thing with them is, can they stay healthy? And it's not just the pitchers. I mean, it's Cespedes. It's other position players that can they stay healthy? I mean, they've had, you talk about the Nationals having a weird sort of history with things. I mean, the Mets have had a weird history with injuries. So, but you're right. It starts with the rotation. I mean, Noah Syndergaard gets the start today as they take on the Cardinals. But it starts with that rotation. If those guys are always shuttling between the rotation and the disabled list or missing starts, then it's going to be a struggle. But if those guys can finally put it together from a health standpoint, then it could be a very intriguing season for the Mets.
Robert, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I need you to fill in the blank for me. In 2019, Bryce Harper will be playing for the blanks.
Impossible.
Look into your crystal ball for me.
Impossible.
You're a baseball expert. I expect you to be 100% correct.
Yeah. Mm. You know what? I'm going to say he plays for the Nationals.
Ooh, look at that.
Really?
He's just playing for the market.
I'm just shameless pandering on my part. But the reason I say this is because I look at what happened in the offseason this year as far as free agents go. Now, Bryce Harper is a different kind of free agent. He's going to get his money. But maybe it's not as much money as what he and his representation thought it was going to be maybe this time last year or 6 months ago or 8 months ago. So maybe he does sort of a Strasburg and decides, I'm going to go back. I'm going to stay with the Nationals and continue to be the face of this franchise. Now, I don't think that any sort of decision will be made this year, but I'm just going out on a limb and say he stays with the Nats.
Hmm. All right, before we let you go, probably should talk about the Dodgers. Kershaw goes tonight against the Giants. He's a 3-1 favorite on opening day against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got some good parts there on the mound.
If you haven't figured it out, you're talking to a big-time gambler here.
Yeah, yeah, I know all the odds. But with the Dodgers, I mean, they had that streak last year in the middle of summer. They went like 50-10. And then SI said it's the greatest team of all time. And, of course, they didn't win the World Series. But, you know, they've got it. They've got really good parts, and they've got to be one of the favorites. They got one of the favorites in the National League.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me, the thing that concerns me about the Dodgers is the rotation beyond Kershaw. Can Alex Wood put together a season like he had last year? Can Rich Hill continue to be counted on? You know, you got Kenley Jansen at the back end of the bullpen, who is a known commodity, and he's always going to post up and put great numbers. But I'm a little concerned about that rotation beyond Clayton Kershaw. Kenta Maeda, is he, you know, he came out of the bullpen in the playoffs. Now he's going to go back to the rotation. Hyunjin Ryu, he's had some health concerns. So I think that for me is, it could be what ultimately is the stumbling block that the Dodgers have to will face in 2018.
All right, Robert, appreciate the time. Enjoyed talking to you. It's Robert Flores. Check out MLB Central weekdays at 10 a.m. You can go to MLBnetwork.com to check your local channel listings.
We'll
Thanks,
be watching,
pal.
Yeah. We'll be watching the show today, bud.
Hey, I appreciate it. Hey, I also want to mention people can watch us on the At Bat app, you know, so just download the MLB At Bat app. You can watch MLB Network right there as well.
Awesome.
Very cool.
All right, man. Appreciate
Thanks,
the time. Thank you.
Valdez and Drab during the break are watching the first episode of Roseanne.
The very first? You mean the new one?
The reboot.
Yeah, the reboot.
I watched a little bit of it.
A lot of laugh track involved. I know Cakes is not a laugh track guy.
Well, I've evolved past laugh tracks at this point in my life.
Now, I think that you can still use a laugh track, but I believe that's filmed in front of a live audience.
Okay.
But I think you can
time it.
No, I'm sure you could. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. I don't know. It got huge ratings, monster ratings for the reboot of Roseanne.
What did you guys think?
We're laughing in here. There's a bunch.
Did you watch it religiously?
Not religiously. But I knew the story. The show. I've watched it many times.
Right.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big viewer of Roseanne.
I wasn't a huge consumer of it the first time around. I mean, I think she's funny.
I don't remember the old show being political like this. This is just zings one after another about political hot takes on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're about to have dinner, and I believe Roseanne said, "Does anybody want to take a knee?"
Did you see the very first scene when they were in bed?
Yeah.
And Roseanne thought that, what's the husband's name?
Dan.
Dan was dead. He had the apnea.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Did you see how hurting his feet were, his toes?
But I can rewind it. Oh, he's got hurting toes?
Oh, my God.
Well, he probably can't reach them to wash them.
They're awful. They look like Bickles.
Hold on, just the toenails are bad? Or the
No, they were like curled. Like,
oh, his toes are they were just, the actual toes. Yeah, not
hammer toes?
Hammer toes.
Yeah, that is just like Bickles.
Just hurting feet.
The toenails don't face up. They face out.
I'm sorry, that's just something that stuck out to me. I don't know.
Now I'm what? I'll let you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any shows that, like, because that's the hot thing right now, is to bring back old shows, Full House,
uh-huh.
This show. Seems like every show that was on in the 90s is making its way back.
Yeah,
so is there a show that I'd like to see come back?
Well, the show that they brought back, now it's not in that era. They brought back Curb Your Enthusiasm after a bunch of years off. He just quit doing it, and then he just brought it back.
No, what was the one, though, with Deborah Messing and the gay guy?
Will and Grace.
Oh, Will and Grace, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Brought that back, right?
Well, I didn't watch it either time.
Neither
time. Yeah. I'm not really interested in Will and Grace.
Hey, I'm not either. I'm just trying to think of ones they brought back.
I mean, we're focusing on sitcoms.
Yeah.
Hey.
And I do watch some sitcoms.
I know Mom
is on tonight. I'm a big fan.
His feet look like Brian Baldinger's hands.
Don't they?
Look how awful those toes are.
They're mangled.
They are awful. We got the worst feet in the country.
800-636-1067 is the number.
Maybe Cheers.
You'd want NYPD Blue to come back. You used to love that show.
You love Sipowicz so much.
Loved that show.
And Jimmy Smits. Is it Smits?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
So hold on. Can't remember the character's
but
name.
But that's a drama.
Yeah.
Not a comedy, but I, yeah.
So what, if they did a reboot of Cheers, so would Ted Danson still do the bar bit?
They'd still be the bar.
I guess. Got to be there.
They'd bring back Norm and Cliff. I mean, what else would they be doing? But Frasier's available now, right?
Yep.
They could bring back the whole crew.
My wife.
Woody.
My wife
gotta
and
bring
daughter.
Back Woody.
My wife and daughter are big marks for Law and Order SVU.
And that show's been going on
I've
for
sat
like
down and
seasons.
Watched an episode or two. Very graphic. I'm like, my daughter's like, she's 15, about to turn 16. I'm like, this is some pretty heavy stuff.
But all
watching.
Those shows are pretty formulaic. Like, something happens at the beginning, court case, and then they resolve it by the end.
Yes. But I mean, it's all about like sexual assault, rapes. It's just.
Well,
horrible,
you're watching SVU.
Horrible subject matter.
You want to get off the sexual assaults, move off of SVU and watch a different Law and Order.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's the move.
Although, Valdez, if they brought back Cheers, I don't know if they could bring back Kirstie Alley because she is probably pretty hurting right now.
Yeah, but she fluctuates. She's all over the place.
What about the other girl?
I don't think she fluctuates too much now.
Yeah, Shelley Long.
Who played Diane?
Diane Chambers, yeah.
I mean, she's old.
Shelley Long, old, of course. Oh, old.
Well, look, Ted Danson's a regular on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
What about Bebe?
And he has his show.
Bebe Newworth.
Who we had an in-person interaction with.
Or Rhea.
She was so bitter at me. Why don't you tell that story?
From what I remember.
We were coming back from the Grammys in New York City.
That was the event. Uh-huh. So we're coming back from the Grammys on an Amtrak train. And correct. Of course, we're not in the silly Acela section. We're just in with the rest of the numbers.
Including Bebe.
In the regular coach section.
Yeah.
So I guess a few seats, I don't know if it was behind us or up from us, was sitting Bebe, I think her last name is Newworth.
Correct.
Who played Lilith on Cheers.
On Cheers.
And Jason was obsessed with her and couldn't stop.
I couldn't stop looking at her.
Couldn't stop looking at her. And she basically, from what I remember, said something along the lines of, why don't you take a picture? It would last longer, you big stupid.
She did say
leave me alone.
She said, take a picture. And then she stormed away and walked to another car.
Right.
You should have tracked her down and said, I didn't get my picture.
But what's funny is, you know, where you wait at the gate at the Amtrak at Penn Station?
Yeah.
You're waiting for your train to pull in, and they say, all right, you're on track 11 or whatever. I remember standing right behind her, and I don't think we had any conversation.
You just weren't sure if it was her.
Yeah,
and
I remember you saying,
like, why would she be on this?
She didn't
apparently
have any makeup
on. Show.
Yeah, she looked a little hard.
It resembled her, but I wasn't totally sure. But then when I got on the train, I kind of knew it was her, and that's when she said that. Did I say anything to her?
I don't know if you did. I think she could feel your eyes, like, peering through her. I guess she just had enough.
Yeah,
and
she just rolled
she
out.
I just remember you said, you or EB pointed out, she was wearing some hiking shoes.
Yes.
Like really ugly.
She
like,
didn't look like a Hollywood star.
No.
She wasn't dressed like that.
Was
like,
she silly back in the day?
Not really.
On the show?
She was never.
On Cheers, I would say she was like sneaky cute, not hot.
Is that what you mean? Looking physically?
Yeah. A six
in
or
kind
seven.
In kind of a nerdy, kind of a, you know, I don't know, maybe.
She was just famous.
Gotcha.
But I remember, I think I said, you know who you look like. I think I said that.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, she's like, yes.
I said that. That's why she was bitter. I said, do you know who you look like?
That's why she was salty.
And I don't know what her response was then, but that's when she said, just take a picture.
Yeah, she stormed off.
Yeah, she was.
She wanted no more of it. Let's go to Randy in Fredericksburg. It is an open line Thursday, in case you forgot. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Randy?
First of all, I just wanted to say, first time caller, long time listener. I just wanted to share a quick story, as far as with the Redskins. I've gone to many disappointing games, like the Seattle game where we got pummeled, not the one last year in Seattle. But, I literally found out I was going to be a father for the first time and was so nervous about going to this Raiders game all on the same day last year. And of course, I happened to go to the best game we could have last year. And then I also wanted to ask, I've been to probably 7 or 8 national games in my life, and it was when we were the Nationals. We were terrible, and we somehow able to win every single game I've been to.
Wow.
So if we can get to the divisional series game 5, can you guys please just send me so we can get past the divisional round?
You're great.
Thank you, guys.
You have to call us then.
We'll give you tickets, no problem.
Me.
I'm kidding.
Randy making it all about himself. He's the good. The Nat's good luck charm. He's going to put him over the top. get them deeper in the playoffs than they've ever been.
Hey, Valdezzi?
Yes.
Did you submit a player in the Houston Open for your golf ball that is not in the field?
Oh, did I?
He's such a donk.
Hey, it's just sports. You don't need to replace it.
I hope I didn't.
He's a donk.
I'm bitter.
Who is it?
I don't know. I don't know who you submitted.
Lahiri and Tringali.
Apparently one of those guys chilling at home this week.
Oh, I'm so distraught.
Why? So, it's just sports.
That's right.
Or it's just money.
Yeah. It is just money.
Yeah.
And Valdez is close to the top five that gets paid out. I am not.
Capitals with a big win last night. That's 9 of their last 10 in the win column. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our pal, Capitals analyst for NBC Sports Washington, Alan May. What's up, Alan?
What's up, Alan?
Hey, guys, not a whole lot. Just you guys and me trying to talk some hockey.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, you know what? I was watching a little of the pregame yesterday, and I was telling Cakes, I was like, I think Alan May is not 100% like a groovy guy. Like, we've been talking about this lately. Like, I don't, and you know, Holtby had a chance to play yesterday and played well. What's your take on what Trotz should do come playoff time?
Well, I think you have to let the season play out because I really think players are who they are the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
And I'm not just saying goaltenders, it's all players. And I am a groovy guy, I'm a happy guy. And what's really bothered me about the goaltending situation is how many people have thrown Holtby away after, you know, 6 seasons he has had one bad month. And we don't know what the exact reason, you know, was it fatigue? Was it, you know, something physical? Was it a combination of both? And I saw a guy that was incredible last night. He kept his team in the game and how many times he's done that over the years. And certainly this year when the team, you know, was not good in the first 2 months of the season. And Grubauer was not good in the first 2 months, and he's really found a niche right now. He's been playing very well. He had to battle, you know, from a horrendous record at the start of the year to get back to a winning record here. And, you know, with his little tweak or injury, Braden had to tweak a week ago as well. You just got to be careful with both of these guys. But I think going into the playoffs, it also depends on who your opponent is. If it's the Philadelphia Flyers, do you put Grubauer in net if the Caps are playing them? They've lit him up for 13 goals in 2 games. Mm. They scored a total of 14. So you've got to take that into consideration. What I would like to see, because I think all the Braden's problems started in the Pittsburgh game about 2 months ago where the Caps lost 7-4 on a Friday night in Pittsburgh, and they were awful. And he was hung out to dry. I would only say that one of the goals in that game was on him. And after that, he really struggled. And Grubauer, on the other hand, you know his play picked up, but he also had the Buffalo games. You know, they spoon-fed him a couple wins, getting him back
right
to a winning record. So, you know, I think they almost look identical to me. If they're both confident, I can't tell them apart. But I think whoever your opponents are, and depending on how the goaltender's track record is against that opponent, that's who you have to go with in the playoffs.
All right, Alan, our producer is speculating. I don't know. Your phone isn't the best. Are we on speakerphone?
No, I'm not.
See,
I'm not.
It's just the cells going in and out. I don't know if we want to try and get a better connection. It just seems to be going in and out. Why don't we call you back, and we'll see if we get a better line. But so pretty much he's saying matchups for the goalie.
Dictate.
That is kind of scary. I didn't realize that Grubauer
was being lit up by
the Flyers.
I didn't know that Grubauer had been punked by the Flyers to that extent.
So they own him.
Yeah, and that's something that Coach Trotz is going to have to look into as far as matchups. How healthy is Grubauer heading into the playoffs? We know he's tweaked something of late that's keeping him out of the lineup. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough decision for Coach Trotz as to who to go with.
Well, I just have a vibe that Holtby is going to be relied on.
I thought Grubauer was the guy, but then we kind of thinking Holtby's having like this down year. He's still, I know this is record, and it's not save percentage, it's not high danger chances, whatever, but when Holtby starts, they're 32-15-4. It's pretty damn good. And Alan's back with us. What's going on, Alan?
Hey, hopefully this is better, guys.
Hopefully it is. So anyway, they got a win last night with Holtby. How did he play? Because I didn't see one of the goals, but I saw on Twitter that some people were saying one of them was kind of a softie.
Well, you know what? Once again, Twitter has been very cruel, and
yes,
you know, people are hypocritical in this area right now, and you know they're picking him apart, and you know people are looking for problems, and you know the first goal that was on him was a goal must scramble with everyone all over the place.
Rangers were playing a fast game last night, and it was just a goal. And, you know, it was from a high-danger area, more Rangers than Capitals. So he was excellent last night. The Rangers outskated the Caps. They played a better game than they certainly did the other night in Madison Square Gardens. But I thought Holtby was spectacular last night. He made a lot of saves that shouldn't have been saved, shouldn't have been stopped. And I thought that was important for him to make sure he's building up his own confidence. And, you know, I just look back at his play over the, you know, that period where he was having a tough time. More than anything, I just think that he was fatigued. He had too much clutter in his brain, was overthinking the game rather than playing with confidence. And, you know, he got back to basics. He needed a little time off, and I believe it worked. He's got three wins in a row now. And they weren't spoon-fed to him. He had to earn them. And once again last night, an inexperienced Rangers team, and Holtby looked very well to me.
Alan, last night, Caps Twitter was raving about Shane Gersich's debut, and Barry Trotz was as well. His quote was, "If he's got better than that, then I'm really excited for sure." Talk about Gersich being added to the lineup this late in the season. Talk about his background and what he brings to this Caps team.
Well, you know, when they drafted him in 2014, he was still in high school, and he played a few games with the national development team, a couple games of junior, and, you know, he was a long shot. He looked like he was about 12 years old back then when they picked him up. Now he looks like he's about 15 or 16. But, you know, one of the things is he's the smallest player on the ice last night. He's not the biggest guy, but his skating is elite. And he's able to do things, and he doesn't look like he's moving, and he just whips around players. So the University of North Dakota has a phenomenal program, and it's like an NHL breeding ground. They have so many players in the NHL right now. You know, TJ Oshie played there. Taylor Turney, who's no longer here, played there. You've got players, Brock Besser in Vancouver, who was probably going to win Rookie of the Year until he broke his wrist. There's a lot of players, and what they do there that makes them so successful is teach players how to play the pro game and how to, you know, value little plays on the boards, little outlet passes if you're a winger, how to protect the puck to kill time, how to protect the puck and spin off and create scoring chances to go to the net. And he did every one of those things carbon copy last night very well. Played 8 minutes and 50 seconds somewhere in that area. And I thought he played a smart game, an intelligent game. And because it was a simple game, it stood out. And because when you're lightning fast like he is, you stand out, and especially if you're a straight line player going to the net. So he had some great scoring opportunities. He had, I think, 6 shot attempts altogether, 3 that hit the net, should have scored on a couple. But I really liked his game last night. You know, he came out of a program where they value all the little things that, you know, other players haven't had to, you know, haven't been forced to do or play like. And I'm thinking of a guy like Andrei Burakovsky, how he came into pro, not valuing some of those things, and now it's kind of hurt him a little bit. Jacob Vrana, the Caps are giving some tough love to because they want all those little things valued, and I think that'll be a payoff for the Caps in the long run.
And by the way, Gersich got pranked by his teammates as they took to the ice for the pregame skate. He had to go out and do like 3 laps by himself. Is that
something? That's the only time that he looked nervous last night. I said, oh my God, this kid's he's fried right now because he went out there. He looked like he was wobbling because I know how good he can skate. I've seen him skate a lot, and he looked very, very nervous. And, you know, that was the toughest part of night because, you know, the guys just want they're at their safest place, the place they feel most comfortable when they're actually on the ice in a game. You know, everything else goes away. They're not overthinking. They're just playing the game and having fun and doing something they've done, you know, probably 1,000 times since they're a little kid.
So, Alan, I know this team doesn't have the amount of points they had last year. They're not going to get to the 55 wins that they had last year, but do you feel differently about this team than you did last year at all?
One of the things I really didn't like the last 2 years, and I'm an old school guy when it comes to every game is a value to me, and every game matters, your effort and execution. And I felt that maybe the last 6 weeks of both of the seasons, they were so far ahead of everything, and they clinched the playoffs so early. But I just felt like they were complacent, somewhat arrogant, maybe cocky. And when I'd hear them interviewed after blowing a game to a team that wasn't in the playoffs, oh, that's okay. We're just waiting for the playoffs. We're just getting ready. Well, you've got to be on all the time. You've got to execute. There's got to be attention to detail in everything you do. And if they would have had that attitude, it would have been a lot better. Now, I look at this team. It can't have that attitude because it struggled so much in the first 6 weeks, 2 months of the season. It's been up and down. It's one of the ugliest first places ever. But what I do like about this team is they're figuring out they have to play different ways. That those teams weren't changing for anything, the style they had to play. They weren't, you know, trying to figure out what the other team was doing and really change their game and tailor it to be better defensively, or maybe not to be physical, maybe just to check the puck and be a frustrating team. And we're seeing that. And right now, I look at, you know, they have a lot of players that can skate. There's a healthy competition going on for a lot of the different spots in the lineup up front. And then you've got on defense some speculation as to who's going to play in defense. So last year, everything was a given. Everyone was getting their jersey. No one was worried about who was playing every game because they knew who was playing. This team, guys are being held to a different standard, and maybe unfairly sometimes to some of the players may think that way. But there's a lot of wingers vying for spots right now. There's an injection of youth, which is always good. You know, if you can get a guy, Verana, playing, you know, at top speed all the time, and Burakovsky playing top speed and a smart game, and maybe Travis Boyd comes in and helps out, you know, in a fourth-line center role. There's a lot of different options right now. Jacob Yarabek that they picked up from Montreal has been really good when he's been in the lineup for the Caps. Actually, their record is 6-2 when he's in the lineup, and they've outscored the opposition 25-13 when he's out there. So, you know, these are things that matter. And I think having a roster like this where, you know, everyone has to, you know, walk in the dressing room every day and wonder who's getting a jersey, I think that's important. And the fact that they're picking up at the right time rather than slowing down, they're gaining momentum. You look at the play of TJ Oshie, you know, it looks like he's finally back to 100% physical health. And, you know, that really helps his game all the way around now that he's scoring and putting up numbers. He looks like a completely different person than he did a month ago.
Talking to Alan May, former Cap, of course, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. I know you talked about the Flyers when we were talking about Grubby, and that's a bad matchup. Is Philadelphia the one team that you don't want to see in the first round, or is there someone else you absolutely don't want to play?
Well, you look around the Eastern Conference, a lot of teams are playing right now. You know, you always look to Pittsburgh Penguins as a team. I'd rather someone soften them up than you try to win your first round. And Columbus, you know, they're one of the hottest teams in the league. But I think right now Philadelphia has been able to skate circles around the Caps and the games that they've played. And they've completely changed the identity of their team. They're no longer the Broad Street Bullies. They don't have anyone that fights. They don't have any punks on their team, more or less. You know, they're not trying to run you from behind in the glass. They're trying to skate you into the ice and score more goals than you by a bucket load. And so that team, they really scare me. And the New Jersey Devils, if you don't play them correctly, if they make it, you're in trouble. If you let them skate up and down the ice without getting in their way, they'll embarrass you. So, you know, I think you have to give everyone their respect. But now, from what I've seen, I would have to say it is the Philadelphia Flyers that the Capitals would be most concerned with because of the amount of speed that they have in their lineup, the quality of coaching that they have over there. And, you know, their biggest question mark would be goaltending at this point.
All right, Alan, always love having you on. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate the time, bro.
Yeah, take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Alan.
It's our pal Alan May.
He's getting all fired up.
Capitals analyst for NBC Sports Washington. 5 games to go. Capitals, of course, have a 46-24-7 record. Now a 7-point lead in the Metro. Jesus. Anna from Bethesda wants to chime in, and I heard that she's feeling quite happy.
Ah, Anna, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Morning.
Hi, Anna.
I wanted to know, when you do opening day, when you do opening day at the ballpark, your show, I wanted to know how long are you going to do it?
And 4 hours.
We're going to do a 4-hour show.
6 to 10, just like we always do our show.
Because I don't open the ballpark till like about 12.
Yeah, that might be a little problem.
Yeah, I don't think you. Yeah, they're not going
to
let you in.
I wanted to find out if you could possibly stay a little longer, so your Nets fan can meet you guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Anna, can we play a little game with you? We haven't done this in a while.
What's that?
I'm gonna throw out a couple questions. We're gonna bet on it, $1 each, and then after the three of us make our bet, then you have to answer the question, okay?
That's all I wanted to find out.
So hold off, Anna. Anna's in Bethesda.
Put her on hold, because there's no way she can play along. We'll just get back to her in a second.
All right. let's guess questions. What her poison is. Like, what was she drinking to get in this state?
I don't think she's drinking. I just think she's drinking? Just generally be clueless.
I do think she's been drinking
Did you ask her, Drab?
I'm going in with...
Maybe she's got some sort of a condition.
Hasn't touched alcohol this morning.
Jason?
I'm going to agree with Cakes.
Really?
Yeah. I know she sounds it.
Well, I'll just take the field. I think she's been drinking. Anna?
Yeah?
Have you been drinking either late last night throughout the evening or today?
I don't drink.
You don't drink?
No.
See, told you.
Silly read by us, Jason.
All right. Do you want to guess her age?
All right. I'm going to say 66.
I'm going to go double nickel, 55.
Well, I'd go over 60, 67, because right. I think she's older.
All right.
Anna?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm not telling.
No, it's just a game. Us, nobody knows
tell
who
us
you are.
If you're in your 50s or 60s or 70s. Come on.
Perfect music. She's
not playing along.
The only last question I had was
profession. I just enjoyed
unemployed.
It.
I was
retired.
Unemployed.
Highest level of education, Cakes? Well, this does live in Bethesda. Generally, Bethesda people are educated.
I'm just going to go unemployed.
Well, we can't find out because you hung up on her.
I didn't. Valdez did.
Yeah.
That was Valdez's
and
bet.
By the way, just since we hung up on her, unfortunately, EB Cakes, I have to leave, but Jason will stick around to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Opening day.
I believe when I'm on vacation. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. You're not even going to be here.
Yeah, your boy's off next week.
Let's get our pal Bruce.
You're not going to come in just for that show.
Good morning, junkies.
Hello, hey, Bruce.
What's going on, Bruce?
Not fuss. I got a announcement to make.
Okay.
Let's grow my old cue on the Blue Book on Kitch Saturn.
I knew it was going to be a Saturn joke.
I couldn't track it. What did he say?
What's lower, his IQ or the Blue Book value of
the Saturn?
The silly green Saturn.
That's a good one. That's a good one. What are you doing today, Bruce?
I got to help my mom.
All right, go help your mom.
Good. How about opening day? Are you going to watch any baseball today?
If I get around, what channel?
Channel 5.
It's on different channels. Are you
okay.
Going to Pickles?
Who do you think wins the World Series this year?
The Nationals.
That's a good pick.
There it is.
All right, Bruce, best of luck with your mom.
Okay.
All right.
So our guy, Bruce the Hugger.
Bruce has been calling in every Thursday for how many years?
Since the HFS years.
Or early 2000s.
It's a tradition unlike any other.
That's right. And by the way, we told the story earlier. Cakes is now going to start driving the old beat-up 2003 Saturn.
2004.
2004
Saturn.
Let's
not add an extra year to it.
14-year-old car. It's a Saturn. I could probably barely fit in it.
You're probably right.
But he's going to drive that to work starting when?
I don't know, probably in a couple months.
Yeah. When you give your car to your daughter.
Yeah, I've got a lot of transactions
got a lot of
as
kids.
Far as cars go.
Yep. Keep having
so
kids.
Many, a lot of kids.
And doing let's it.
Go back to Anna, who has called back.
Anna?
Yes.
Are you in your 50s, 60s, or 70s?
Valdez, that's me.
I'm trying to get an
we
answer.
We actually want to hear.
Valdez, I don't care how old she is. I just love the bit. So keep doing the bet.
She's still there.
I want to know the situation with the ballpark thing.
All right. We'll see you at the ballpark.
Hey, what's got to do with the ballpark thing? They stay late. They're let me in early.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.